Hey, and welcome to the Carmen Johnston Gardens podcast. I'm Carmen Johnston, and I'm a garden lifestyle expert with over 13 years of experience in landscape design and events. I'm excited to bring you practical gardening tips for indoor plants, herb gardens, container gardens, my favorite, landscape design, amazing products, and so much more. Join me for ways to incorporate your garden into your kitchen and your home. I'll be providing you easy and beautiful entertaining tips, DIYs, planner tricks, floral design, and all kinds of fun recipes. I love to make gardening truly accessible and fun. No need to take notes as you listen. You'll find videos and resources that accompany each episode at CarmenJohnstonGardens.com. Now let's get busy and get our hands in the dirt. How's everyone doing today? I'm Carmen with Carmen Johnston Gardens, and I've got Lainey with Thunderwood Farms. We are in Georgia, and we're talking about the five, maybe six, we think we may add another one, best ferns to plant in the fall. Lainey is a perennial grower, and she went to UGA, and she is one of the best, and she's filled with lots and lots of knowledge. This is her passion. So let's start off with one of our favorites, both of our favorites. This is
Phalaenopsis kunthii, which is Southern River Wood. Some people call it Southern Shield. Both are, it's a common name, whatever you feel comfortable with. This is actually not an evergreen fern, but it's a great plant fern to plant in the fall versus planting in the spring, because it gives it time for the roots to really get established, and it won't require as much water.
Okay.
For you to put on it, it's still going to require water.
But right.
Shady spot, and it's just going to grow and colonize and make a nice big clump.
Okay, so Southern Shield Fern.
Southern Riverwood.
Or Southern Riverwood.
Yes.
So, but us Southerners like to call it Southern Shield. But tell us what zones this grows in.
That one is going to be cold hardy, probably top out at zone 7A, which would be 0 degrees. But
okay.
South of that, plant away. Now, that doesn't mean you can't grow it, because this is only about 14 weeks of growth on here. So it can also be grown further north is an annual or is container plant.
But you were telling me earlier that it gets about waist high eventually.
Yes.
So it gets probably a good 3 to 4 feet
yes.
tall. It can get really tall, and it comes back every year. So it's
yes.
a perennial. But I love the gorgeous color.
Yes.
I mean,
So if you put it in deeper shade, the foliage will get greener,
mm-hmm.
like deeper green, but even, dark shade, this is still a really light, bright spot in the landscape that could draw out from the shade. And if you put it in a little more sun, be prepared to water a little bit more, be prepared for a few scorched leaves, but you will get a little bit limier.
Yeah, and so it's a really pretty, like you said, if you keep it in the sun, it's kind of like a lime green. Now, not full sun,
no.
right? Yeah,
no. Morning sun, late afternoon. If you could keep it out of the sun between, 11 and 3, when we really don't need to be in the sun either,
right?
It would do great.
Okay, now I also like to use this in my containers. I actually have this planted in a container that sits next to our back door, and it just comes back every year. So I don't replant the container. It's super easy, very low maintenance, and this is one of my favorite go-to ferns.
Absolutely.
Because I love the structure, and
yes.
I love the fronds, and it makes beautiful clippings for arrangements as well.
It does.
It's a great one. Southern Shield Fern. Okay, now this one.
Ooh-wee!
Look at this beautiful ribbon fern. Okay, you got to tell us the story about this one.
Okay.
We got a friend here visiting.
This is Pteris cretica albolineata, otherwise known as ribbonbrake fern.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a variegated. They come in green as well. But these are so light and so shiny. They're only hardy to zone 8A.
Okay.
So you're looking at about 10 degrees, which we would probably freeze at
mm-hmm.
that temperature. But they get really large. They can also be brought in as a houseplant, because traditionally this was grown as a houseplant. My grandmother always kept it. It was always really huge and aggressive, and I remember this plant from my childhood, because it was always there. It got drug out in the summertime, it got brought in the winter. but it's so actually cold hardy here. So pretty.
One of the reasons why I like to use this fern in the container mixes and container gardens is because of the variegation. It's got that gorgeous light green center, and then the edges are a limey green, and I love the frond structure. So be sure, if you're listening to the podcast right now, be sure to check us out, Carmen Johnston Gardens on YouTube, and you can actually see this gorgeous look. They're phenomenal. But this is the ribbon fern.
Yes.
Okay. Now, another one of our top favorites, the autumn fern.
Yes.
Autumn fern.
So autumn fern is Strioptris erythrosora. It is probably one of the most used ferns in our landscapes because they are just, they're evergreen or semi-evergreen, depending on how far north you live. And they've got a really wide frond base, and they will get 3 to 4 foot tall. So they really fill in some space. They get their common name from the new growth, which brings these orangey bronze colors. They actually usually put off more of those in the spring, but even this time of year, as the new fronds emerge, you'll get that really nice,
gorgeous fall autumn hue. Yes. It's a really pretty fall color, but this will actually go through the winter.
Yes.
And that's why I love to use it in a lot of our gardens. We like to create layers in the garden and use this one as a backdrop, and then layer some different things like Lenten roses and some other plants in front of it.
Absolutely. It's a favorite go-to. It's an easy one if you're just getting started, and it's one you want in your garden if you're a longtime gardener as well.
Yeah,
every garden needs it.
Extremely traditional, definitely. Okay, another go-to is the holly ferns. Look at how gorgeous. These are almost an emerald green.
It is.
And it's a nice shiny leaf.
And beautiful. They are also evergreen and will go through winter and make nice cuttings.
They do.
My daughter says these look like fishtails to her. I don't know why.
They kind of do look like fishtails.
That's what she always says. She's like, that fishtail. But this is Sertomium falcatum, which is the holly fern, and it is also very easy to grow. Mm-hmm. You would put it in the same kind of conditions that you would the autumn fern. And the great thing about all these ferns is, like, deer really do not like to eat them.
You're looking for things that are deer resistant, these are definitely some great go-tos.
And now people will tell you that, well, they ate my fern. Well, if they get hungry enough, they will.
You're right. They will definitely eat it.
But this is not going to be the first thing they go to.
So if you're looking for winter interest in your garden, this is why we love to bring ferns in the garden. And tell us why fall is the best time to plant.
Well, it gives us the opportunity to get the roots established in the ground, and you're not focused on growing the tops. The plant is really putting all of its energy into root growth, so it has a great root system to support itself through the following spring and summer, which lightens your load on watering and fertility and all that stuff. So once the plant is in the ground and situated and established, it's a very low maintenance thing. And fall is the best time to plant them because it makes it easier to establish.
Okay, so how do you fertilize your ferns? Like, what do you I know what we use, but I want to know, what does the expert use to fertilize, or what do you recommend?
We use a very low fertility. Like, a lot of times with ferns, the more you love them, the less they love you.
If you're the gardener that doesn't like to give lots of love or give lots of attention, this sounds like this could be your kind of plant.
Yes. So we do fertilize our ferns. We're at the nursery when we're producing them. We're on constant liquid feed, which would be the equivalent of using like the blue water at the end of your hose.
And when she means blue water, tell our listeners what blue. I know what blue water is.
So it's water that has fertilizer integrated into it. It is mixed right there at the end of your hose. You can get it at any of your stores, and I won't name any brands, but it's pretty easy to find. And it's called fertigation. That process is called fertigation. So we use that when we fertilize, and we only fertilize 1 to 2 times a week during their growing season. Now, once we're out of the growing season, we do not fertilize.
Okay.
Because we just don't want them to start, we're here in Georgia, and it could be 70 degree day. You could have a 70 degree day any month.
January.
Yes.
February.
Absolutely. And so if it's constantly getting that fertility, it's going to say, oh, it's time to grow. And then a freeze the following week, you could do a lot of damage. So during the cold season, when they're not actively growing, we don't fertilize. But as you're coming into the growing season, it's going to be more important. So it has the energy to really jump up and jump out there and
shove off.
Wait until you actually, let's get through the frost. Let's get through the, you know, that zone. And so wait until, I know April 15th is our magic day.
That is our magic day, especially in North Georgia. Now, if you're south of there, it's a little bit earlier, right. But April 15th is our day, especially in the metro Atlanta area in North Georgia. And if you're further north, that date's going to move as well.
Right. So if we, our listeners that listen to us around the country, just be aware of that frost date, and that's when you want to start fertilizing.
Yes. Yes.
And then, so how often do you recommend? See, I love you. I call it go-go juice.
Yes.
I love to use me some go-go juice.
So if you're using a liquid feed, like I said, probably once or twice a week, but if you're using something like a slow-release fertilizer, you'll follow your recommendations on the package, which will be either 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, depending on which one it is.
Okay.
We usually do not top dress ferns with like a conventional fertilizer like you would your fertilizers, like your vegetables or something like that.
Okay.
Simply because they can flash and burn really easy. And
so if they are using like a granular fertilizer, how do you recommend that they actually fertilize it?
Gently.
Gently. Okay. Basically, she's saying don't take a handful and throw it at the base of the plant.
No. I mean, that would be more for your slow release fertilizers. In fact, that would probably be the best option.
Okay, for sure. Yes. Okay, so this is our holly fern. Okay, now we've got, tell us what this beauty is.
Cinnamon fern. Ooh. And you're not gonna look at this little baby fern and think it's a cinnamon fern, but it is. It's Osmunda cinnamomea. And the reason it gets this name is when the new fronds are coming up, they are brown. And they are like curled up so tight, like a cinnamon stick. And then as they unfurl, they are green and they're beautiful.
I love this structure as well. This is another really pretty structure, and it's got a gorgeous green hue to it. And this also makes great for cuttings as well.
It does, but this is not going to be what comes back next year because it's going to be a lot taller.
Okay, so she's saying when you plant this now,
as a very small young plant, it is not really gone through, it needs to go through winter. We call that vernalization. That's why fall's for planting. It needs to go through winter. And so when the new fronds come out, you're looking at a 2 to 2.5 foot frond versus 6 inches right now, because this is just a very young plant.
So this is the cinnamon fern.
Yes.
And it is just a really another beautiful fern. And what's so great about all these different ferns is you can mix them in your garden.
Absolutely.
Like, it's okay to create the different layers, look at the different heights, and it's a good one. Okay, so I know we said we had 5, but we've got to add one more. Hold on one second. Let's pull this one. This is
Dryopteris ludovickiana.
Okay, now listen. So Lainey and I talk about this. You don't have to know all these fancy names.
You do not.
Okay, but she went to school for this. So if you're a gardener, it's okay. Like if you're a new to gardening, you don't have to know the fancy names. But what is the common name?
Well, this is also called the Southern Shield Fern, which is why it can be rather confusing. So a lot of times your professionals will use the actual botanical names, because if you call me and say Southern Shield, I'm going to say, which one? Because I got them both.
Right. Okay. Which we order a lot. This is where we get a lot of our beautiful perennials from.
So the other thing I would say, especially about the names, is just let her rip. Like, don't get hung up on
how to pronounce it.
Just let her rip and have fun with it, because the focus is not, it should not be stressing about how to say
it. I always tell people, I'm like, listen, don't worry about the name.
No.
We're just focusing on making it grow in your garden and creating a beautiful place.
That's right.
Now, how tall will this one get?
So this is going to be very similar to your autumn fern. So about, it's going to mature. Now, it takes a little time to get there. Most of the ferns do. So you're looking at about 3 foot or so, and the fronds are really long. And these have been out all summer long, so they are like, and summer has not ended here yet. We're still at 90 degrees. So
It's coming.
So these are, you will see as the summer goes on, in the early spring, these are really lustrous, dark, shiny green. But then as summer goes through and it gets more exposure and the leaves are starting to go into decline, they get this really pretty yellow chartreusey color on them as well. And they will also be evergreen or semi-evergreen. So
in the winter time.
Yes. Now in February, with all of these ferns that are evergreen, January, February, sometimes in that kind of middle winter, you're going to start seeing the leaves kind of lay down a little bit and make room for the new growth that's coming right behind that.
So do you recommend like clipping off all of the dead? See, I like to clip off the dead. What do you recommend?
Well, in the nursery, we absolutely clip off the dead because we want it to be pretty, but it's not necessary.
Okay.
But if you want it clipped off because it's an area that's like really highly visible, it doesn't hurt it. If it's kind of in the back in the middle of a pile and it's hard to get to, just don't stress about it.
Okay.
Just have fun with it. But either one will work. There's a lot of different thoughts when it comes to gardening, like leave it so that it can go back into the soil, or remove it so that it looks nice, and just find a balance that works for you.
Okay, I love that. Well, these are our top favorite ferns that we love to plant. Be sure to check out CarmenJohnstonGardens.com. We'll have all the information on our website, and be sure to check out our YouTube channel. And Lainey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
We appreciate
you.
It. Happy planting.
To see a video of today's episode, visit www.carmenjohnstongardens.com for more practical tips and tricks on ways to integrate your garden to your kitchen and home. Be sure to follow me on Pinterest, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Carmen Johnston Gardens, where I provide all kinds of fun daily inspiration and ideas. If you're looking to hire a landscape designer for your commercial or residential property, or to have my team help you with your next special event, please visit our website at www.carmenjohnstongardens.com and fill out our form, and we'll be sure to be back in touch with you. Again, many thanks for listening. Go to www.carmenjohnstongardens.com/podcast and subscribe for more episodes.